Hello friends, this session is going to deal with chapter 4, that's climatic regions. Let us see what are the things that we are going to cover up. These are the key points of the chapter: introduction, factors which are influencing the world climatic regions itself, India, factors affecting the climate of India. Let us take this one by one. Now, introduction. In earlier chapters also we have talked about climate and weather. So climate encompasses the statistics of temperature, humidity, atmospheric pressure, wind, precipitation and atmospheric particle count. Other meteorological elemental measurements in a given region over a long period of time. So these are the things when we talk about measuring a climate of a particular location or a place in the world. We are talking about all these characteristics which are there. So we are talking about whether it is a high temperature or low temperature. We are talking about the atmospheric pressure areas, that is low pressure, high pressure. We are talking about humidity of air, then the precipitation, the rainfall which is there. Then again the wind patterns or the speed of the wind or the breeze that is the location has. So the difference between climate and weather, when we talk about climate we are talking about a range of weather over a longer period of time, whereas weather is a short term, that is we are talking about what is the present time weather at that place. So summarized by the popular phrase, climate is what you expect and weather is what you get. So weather is at a particular time. So say tomorrow what we are going to see is a weather, but when we are talking about climate it's over a long year range, that's 30 years. So that's how the climate of a destination is studied and recorded. Now the factors which influence the world's climatic regions. Now the world is divided into many climatic regions as observed over the period of years. Now there the factors which affect this climatic regions or which are behind formation of such climate regions are these which are listed here. The first is the latitude. The position of that place on the planet Earth is going to influence its own climate. So it is the latitude which influences more as rather than the longitude of it. So whether its place away, whether the place is away from the equator or nearer to equator, or whether it is away or near to the polar regions, is going to affect the climate. Air mass, the patterns that we see which are there on that particular place. Location of global high low pressure zones. So there are different pressure zones which are created because of the temperature gradients and other natural processes all around. So at a particular time the atmospheric pressure will be changing at a place, and it will also be influenced by the pressure of surrounding areas. So this high low pressure zones will be created which will affect the climate. So there might be a rainfall or there might be heavy winds like that. So heat exchange from ocean currents. Now we know that there are things like land breeze, sea breeze. There are other wind patterns which are governed by the point that the place is either near to the ocean currents or nearer to the ocean mass or land mass, or it is away from it, that is towards the inland. So heat exchange from the ocean currents. Then mountain barriers, this is wherein we have seen how mountains act as a barrier to the wind, and they are responsible for stopping the wind or having a barrier to that wind. So because of which the climate on one side of the mountain will be different than the other. So that is the windward and leeward side of the mountains. Then the pattern of prevailing winds. Prevailing winds are the strong winds which flow in a specific direction more rather than the other directions. Though the patterns are there, we have the winds, different kinds of winds which are there, which we have already studied. So that is the pattern and the place that we are talking about, whether it comes under this particular zone or comes under this prevailing winds. Distribution of land and sea, like said earlier. Altitude, the height of that particular place from the sea level, so average height will affect, wherein the temperature starts becoming colder as we go above the sea level. So the altitude of a place is also going to matter. So these are the factors which influence the climatic regions of the world. Now the identified climatic regions are listed here. We have the polar, we have the temperate, cold winters and mild summers. We have the arid, which is dry, hot all year around. We have the tropicals, which are hot and wet all year around. Mediterranean summers with mild winters and dry, hot summers. Mountains, which are very cold all year. So these are identified climatic regions. Let's take it one by one. Now we are talking about the polar region. By the name itself, it suggests the region that we are talking about is near to the poles, so the North Pole and the South Pole of planet Earth. So polar regions are the areas that surround Earth's North and South Pole. The areas surrounding the North Pole is called the Arctic and the South Pole is called Antarctic. At the Arctic and Antarctic circles, there is one full day when sun does not set and one day when it does not rise. Now, we have this phenomena which is seen because of the axial tilt that the Earth shows, because of which the sun rays which hit the polar regions hit at a different angle. While the revolution of the Earth. So there are days, there are time wherein because of the axial tilt, the Earth is entirely tilted towards the sun. And there is one day when it is tilted away from the sun. So what happens is sometimes one of these days the North Pole is towards the sun and the South Pole is away from the sun. And at the other day it is vice versa. That's exactly opposite. So this is this is the phenomena which is observed wherein the sun does not set and sun does not rise. And the phenomena is opposite in northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere. That is, the North Pole and South Pole will show you opposite things. So sun does not set on summer solstice. That is the day when it is the phenomena which is observed. That is also known as the June solstice. The date which approximately falls is June 21st for the northern hemisphere and December 21st in the southern hemisphere. So, and it does not rise in the winter solstice. That's on December 21st for the northern hemisphere or the North Pole, and June 21st for the southern hemisphere, that is the South Pole. Now we are talking about this polar region here. This is the yellow line which will tell you it's the Arctic Circle, and the other one is the Antarctic region, which covers the Antarctic region. That's the Antarctic Circle denoted by yellow. Now this is the Arctic zone that we are talking about. The area surrounding the North Pole is called the Arctic. It includes the entire Arctic Ocean and the northern areas of Europe, Asia, that's the Russia that we see, then the Northern America and the parts of Greenland. This is the Arctic Circle over here. Now next we will see the Antarctic. The area surrounding the South Pole here is called the Antarctic. It includes the entire continent of Antarctic and the parts of Southern Ocean. We can see here the Antarctic Circle. So this is the Antarctic region. This is the diagram which will explain the summer solstice and the winter solstice. This is the revolution of the Earth. Here we have the axial tilt of the Earth, because of which this is completely tilted towards the sun, making sure that the sun is not setting in northern hemisphere. This is the date which it falls for, that's June 28th to 22nd, and these two dates are when it is in the middle. So we have vernal equinox. This is the spring, the summer and the autumn. This is the winter year, wherein the north hemisphere is the north pole is away from the sun. So that's when the sun is not setting in the North Pole. So this is the cycle which happens, and that is how the sun appears to be at the poles. Now right at the poles, the sun shines for half the year and it is dark for the other half of the year. This makes a year like one long day. Now, because of this axial tilt, because of the position of the poles, the sun is shown to be half dark and half lighted. That is, when we are talking about an axial tilt, which is towards the sun, for 6 months, the sun is always in the sky. That is, overall, there is summer for half the year that we are talking about. So it is dark on the other half of the year. Sun rises in the spring, reaches its highest point in the sky in summer, and it sets in autumn. So the sun is visible only during the warmer months of the year. Let us go back to the diagram here, wherein we are talking about the spring at Mars, that's vernal equinox, and then the summer solstice, and then the autumnal equinox again. So this is the highest, the sun being highest in the sky. When the sun is visible during summer at the South Pole, it is dark winter months at the North Pole. So it is the two opposite things that are happening at North and South Pole. Now, what happens at the polar region when we are talking about this is polar regions are ice covered and characterized by lack of warm summer. So even though there is summer, even though the axial tilt makes sure that the sun rays reach more towards the polar region, it is comparatively less. That is, it is not as warm as it should be. So they are ice covered throughout. The polar regions remain wrapped up in thick ice blanket. So in spite of the sun reaching there, sun rays during the summer months being slightly warmer, the ice never melts. That is, the ice blanket is throughout the year. The weather is very cold, far below freezing temperature all year around in both North and South Pole. So the ice blanket remains. The polar climate results in the absence of trees. So because of such a lower temperature, there are no trees which are seen at the poles, because the vegetation cannot be sustained. Now, the polar regions include the tundra climate, which is defined as an area having at least 1 month of above freezing average temperature. So that's the definition for tundra climate. The most distinctive characteristic of tundra climate of the tundra soil is the permafrost. So by the name itself, it suggests it is in permanently frozen condition. So if we go to polar regions over here, we have a permanently frozen layer of ground up to 2000 feet thick. So this thick ice blanket that we are talking about will be permanently, that's the permafrost condition that we have, which is a special characteristic of tundra climate. Now, during summer, when the sun shines for almost 24 hours a day, this is when the land is referred to as the land of midnight sun. So in this phenomena, what happens is we cannot see the sun going overhead of us. That is, this is not the way that we see from east to west. For example, the sunrise and sunset is not seen. But if you stand at the pole, we can see the sun moving across the horizon around us. So that is when we see the sun for 24 hours. So it is known as the land of the midnight sun. So even during night, for the 12 hours, the sun will remain in the sky. So average early temperature range is from 70 degree Fahrenheit to 20 degrees. So this is the temperature range that we have at the poles. Now, the second polar climate that we know about, the earlier one was tundra, now known as the ice cap climate or the perpetual frost climate, now can be found near the north and south pole of Arctic and Antarctic. The ice cap climate is found over the interiors of Greenland and permanently frozen portions of Arctic Ocean associated islands in northern hemisphere. So, this ice cap climate is found in these regions. In southern hemisphere, it is found in Antarctica's region, which experiences coldest temperature on Earth. Now, there are recorded coldest temperatures on Earth, wherein Antarctica is one of the region which shows this recorded temperatures. These regions are the coldest and driest and are known as polar deserts. So these are the most coldest and most driest on the Earth. So here, this climate, which is known as the ice cap climate. Next, we proceed to temperate climate. Now, the north temperate zone, that is near in the northern hemisphere, extends from Tropic of Cancer, that's 23 and 5 degrees, to Arctic Circle, 66.5 degrees. So, this is the zone which is known as the temperate zone or the temperate climate zone. The south temperate zone is at the same location but in the southern hemisphere. Now, the average temperature of the temperate climates of the coldest month is between 27 degree Fahrenheit to 65 degree Fahrenheit. The temperate climate is the area between the low tropical area near the equator and the high polar areas near the poles. So when we are talking about this temperate zone, it is away from the Tropic of Cancer. Now we already know that Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn are the latitudes wherein the earth the sun is overhead at least once. Above those zones at both the sides on northern and southern hemisphere, the sun will be reaching obliquely, never overhead. So that is how the temperature is towards cold. Now, according to Köppen climate classification, temperate climates are those without extremes of temperature and precipitation. So, like what we saw in polar regions, they show us extreme cold temperatures. Here, temperates do not show us extremes. There are two types of temperate climates, maritime and continental. So, let us check what is maritime climate. Is strongly influenced by the oceans. So, that's the name maritime, which maintains fairly steady temperatures across the seasons. Now, since it is devoid of extremes, what we have is a climate which is influenced by the ocean itself. So, there might be certain ocean currents which are influencing the climate in temperate zone. So, that is known as maritime climate. Next is the continental climate, which is showing an increase near the inland. So, that's how it is known as the continental climate. So, with warmer summer and colder winters, as the effect of land on heat receipt and loss increases. So, we are talking about the ability of land to cool down quicker and give heat quicker. So, this is wherein it is showing more extremes as compared to the maritime climate. So, that's continental climate experiencing in the inland, that is towards interiors. Now, let us check what are the arid regions of the globe. Now, it is characterized by severe lack of water to the extent of hindering or preventing the growth and development of plant and animal life. So, when we talk about arid zone or arid climatic zone, we are talking about extreme conditions here, which is severe lack of water. So, since there is no water, it is very difficult to have any plant or animal life here. So, it prevents the growth of plant and animal life. The arid climates are experienced around the equator. So, equator is where we know that the sun rays are hitting directly, alright. And then there are other things, that is the pressure areas, pressure gradient, which has made sure that there are places, most of Africa, parts of South America and Central America, which are experiencing arid climatic zones. Arid and semi-arid areas account for one third of the Earth's surface land area. So, this is the proportion to which it exists on the planet Earth. So, we have this climatic condition in approximately one third of area of Earth. Now, the arid zones is nearer to the equator. We have places including most of Africa, then we have parts of South America over here nearer to equators, and we have parts of Central America. So, these form the arid zone or the arid regions of the world. Next is the semi-arid regions. Although it is also related to arid, there are certain things here, certain differences which are there, which makes it away from, that is different from arid regions. So, these are the transition zones between arid and subhumid belts. So, arid is towards extreme dry, semi-arid can be considered as to the next to arid and after that the humid belts. So, these regions are also defined as areas where precipitation is less than evaporation. So, again we might say the same thing here, that is it is lacking in water resource. So, So here the evaporation is higher. So even though we might have certain kind of some kind of precipitation over here, the water which is there is not remaining. That is, it gets evaporated quickly, which makes sure that it is lacking in water resource. The highest temperature registered is 30 to 45 degrees. So that's the kind of temperature that we are talking about. The high pressure area prevents entry of winds and result in little or no rainfall. Now again, we have regions because of the temperature changes or temperature gradient changes, we have the pressure changes. And that is how again the entry of winds is prevented. So when the winds are passing through the oceans, they might have the moisture, but because of the pressure gradient, it is not entering these zones and leading to affecting the precipitation pattern here. So that is also one of the reasons for formation of semi-arid regions. The next is the steppe. Now steppe is a dry grassy plain. Now that is the ideal characteristics of steppe as a region, wherein it is seen as a grassy plain. And this is one of the example that we have. Eurasian steppe, which is the largest temperate steppe in the world. It extends from Hungary to China. Now the reason why steppes have this grass is because it gets such kind of rain, that is the amount of rainfall which sustains only grasses, that is the grasses do not grow taller. So the rain which steppes get is supporting short grasses but not enough for tall grasses or other kinds of trees to grow. Also the other steppes in the world are the dry short grass prairie of North America's Great Plains. Now there are many animals who we see are here or are characteristic to steppe as their habitat. So this is one of the region that we have or the climatic zone that we have. This is where the Eurasian steppe is extending from Hungary to China. So this is here that we see the steppe temperate, which is the largest temperate steppe in the world. The next is the deserts. Now we all know what we are talking about when we talk about deserts as such. Now desert, the geographical definition that is governed is receives less than 250 millimeter of average annual precipitation. And then there is something else known as the semi-deserts or the steppes, which receive between 250 millimeter to 400 to 500 millimeters. So ideally, this is the definition in geographical context, which defines what is a desert, which defines what is a semi-desert, arid, semi-arid. So it is the amount of rainfall that is received. Now deserts cover 33% of Earth's land surface. A desert is a region that receives an extremely low amount of precipitation, less than enough to support growth of many plants. Now, there might be certain plants which are there, but it's quite scarce. So the extreme temperature range which is seen here, again we all know that deserts are extremely hot during day times and extremely cold during night. Similarly, the extreme temperatures during the summer months and the winter months are different. So here we are seeing the daytime temperature can be as hot as 45 or the night temperature can be 0 degree at night time. So that's the kind of extreme range of deserts that we are talking about. Now the reason why the formation of deserts are many, but one of the major reason here is formed by rain shadows mountain. That is, we know that the mountains are acting as a barrier to wind currents. So there are many deserts which are formed because of this mountains who act as barriers. So blocking the path of precipitation, the largest hot desert that we have is the Sahara in northern Africa. So covering 9 million square kilometers and 12 countries. So Sahara is a desert which is in Africa, and this is the expanse that it has. The Thar Desert, which is there along the Indian-Pakistan border, is a large arid region in northwestern part of India, forming a natural boundary running along the border between India and Pakistan. So that's Thar Desert of India that we know. with an area of more than 2 lakh kilometers. So that is again one of the large desert expanse that Earth has. It lies mostly in Indian states of Rajasthan, Haryana, Punjab and Gujarat. So that's the deserts or the examples of desert that we have. Next is the tropical regions. By the name itself, it suggests that those are tropical regions, which are the regions which is in between the tropics. So we are talking about Tropic of Cancer in the northern hemisphere and Tropic of Capricorn in southern. So the tropical region is the region which is between these two. The tropics include all areas on the earth where the sun reaches a point directly overhead at least once during the solar year. So in earlier chapters we have seen how that happens, because the sun will be reaching everywhere in between these latitudes, and there will be one day when it will be overhead on Tropic of Cancer and the other day when it will be overhead of Tropic of Capricorn in an year at least. So what happens is the sun rays will be hitting directly in all the areas in between this tropical climate zone. So tropical temperature remains relatively constant throughout the year. So there are not many extremes that are seen. It is towards a warmer side, that is because the proximity to the sun makes it more warmer, and the seasonal variations are dominated by precipitation. So the there will be precipitation, that is the rainfall, that is going to be seen here. So that is how we have a constant temperature and seasonal variations in precipitation levels in this particular regions. Let's see the map for this. Let's check the tropic regions in the map here. Now we have the Tropic of Cancer, that's the dotted line that we see above the equator, and we have the other Tropic of Capricorn, that is below the equator. The regions between this tropical dotted lines are the tropical regions. So we see most of Africa falls here, then India we have. We also have the regions in Southeast Asia and the Northern and Central American regions. So these are the tropical regions. Now within the tropical zone, there are distinct varieties based on the precipitation. So like said earlier, there will be precipitation patterns which are observed in the tropical region itself. So based on this patterns, there are different zones which are created. Now there is one zone which says which is dominated here, that is the tropical rainforest climate. Now all months have mean precipitation values at least 60 mm. So we have it year around, that is all months, year around phenomena where we see rainfall year around, and the average will be, that is the at least or minimum will be 60 millimeters of rain. So it will be the tropical rainforest climate. Next is the tropical monsoon climate. Now the monsoon will be here. So seasonal change in wind direction due to difference in the way water and land heat. Now we know the monsoon phenomena which is there, which is governed by the heat exchange and temperature gradient changes, and which is making sure that there are prevailing winds which are flowing in a particular direction, picking up the moisture at that particular months, and then there are precipitation which is seen. So that's tropical monsoon climate zone. And then the tropical wet and dry or savanna climate. Now this will be less rainfall and more pronounced dry season. So we are talking about rainfall which is less. It is and throughout the year the temperature is towards higher side. That is, it is more drier or arid kind of a climate. So these are the three different climatic zones inside the tropical region itself. Tropical rainforest climate, tropical monsoon climate, and the tropical wet and dry or savanna climate. Now the Mediterranean region. Now by the name itself, it suggests that the region near the Mediterranean sea would be a part of this. The climate is characterized by warm to hot, dry summers and mild to cool wet winters. It is a variety of subtropical climate. So these are the characteristics which are seen or experienced by the places which belong to Mediterranean region. The annual rainfall is relatively low, with at least 65% falling in winter half of the year. So it will be the winter rains that are experienced. Rugged mountains frequently parallel to the coastline, except in Australia. influence and modify climate patterns, forming distinct rain shadows and microclimates. Now, this is something which is a characteristics of Mediterranean region. We have the rain shadow region, which is created by mountain zones, mostly which is seen nearer to the places which show the Mediterranean climate zone. Again, there are microclimates. Now, microclimates are certain climates which are unique to a particular place, and they can be smaller in area or larger in area. So that has a unique climate with respect to or compared to the area around it. So that's microclimate. So the mountain ranges or the presence of the mountain ranges is one of the factor which is influencing and modifying the climate seen here. Now, found in lands near Mediterranean Sea, in much of California, parts of Western and South Australia, we have it in southwestern South Africa, and then sections of Central Asia and in parts of Central Coastal Chile. So these are the regions which show Mediterranean type of climate.